Damn right there is. I blame our fathers.
You know it.
They allowed it.
They allowed it. They promoted it. They bought the albums. Look at the cover, Dad. Hey, headdress, construction guy, cop with sunglasses and leather.
Did people not know what was going on back then?
My parents did not. His didn't either.
There were some people who were oblivious to what was happening there.
We've talked about this a lot, Bert. If they knew, it wasn't spoken of.
All you got to do.
And generally things like that in my house.
Like intentionally avoided? Is that what you're saying?
We're not tolerated.
They would listen to the song and say, well,
nope,
this is worth it.
It's not this.
Would you say you grew up in a somewhat intolerant household, though?
I mean, there was structure as to what is right and what is wrong. But all you have to do, and Bert, if you have time.
When you're old school Michigan, and that's like where my roots and my dad's side are, so I understand where you guys are coming from.
Pittsburgh's a little different type of town.
Michigan's like that, too. Michigan's a little bit like that, too.
I mean, we're talking about over 40 years ago.
Metro Detroit sort of
that. The world has changed.
Invest 3 minutes of your time and watch the In the Navy video. And that's all you need to know.
It's not just our fathers allowed it. The government allowed it. Embraced it. Yes, come on board. On a battleship.
They're dancing behind the midship.
But that's a great question, though. Like, was everybody just oblivious? Were they intentionally avoiding?
And all those seamen on the boat.
Were they like, I kind of like the music, so we're just going to ignore this? Or were they
just thought it was a hot and happening tune? That's all they thought.
It's like David Spade said when he went and saw Queen, and he's watching Freddie Mercury on stage.
Thinking,
wow, this guy must get all the girls.
That was an era.
Didn't know.
That was an era of experimentation, right? Very much.
Well, not for me.
No. But I'm saying very much like that era was all about experimentation, right? I've seen Forrest Gump.
Bert Breer.
I just think that's a little different.
Bert Breer is with us. He is brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, where free means free online banking and debit card. No minimum balance and no monthly fee. Visit rfcu.com today and find a location near you. In addition to that, Lenny Clark once told us that he was at Club 54 and he met the Indian.
Studio 54.
Right. And he said, I met the Indian. And I said, well, how did you know it was the Indian? And he goes, he was dressed like the Indian.
Because otherwise, how the hell would you know who he was?
Would that be like the equivalent of like Zoe showing up like Daisy Buchanan's in 1992 with his jersey on?
Yeah, that's what it would be.
You ever pull that move?
No, I played with guys that did and went to the mall with their game jerseys on. They pick up women. Derek Cullors was his name.
Nice.
His initials were Derek Cullors.
Yes.
All right. Bert Breer, the MMQB, is with us. Bert, big game coming up this Sunday in Pittsburgh. What's your early thoughts on this one? And your early thoughts specifically on the Steelers?
It's like, as important as this is for the Patriots, and we know what it's going to mean coming off the way they lost in Miami. Obviously, from a standing standpoint, there's a lot on the line. They could wind up playing wild card weekend if they don't win this week, right? Like, there's certainly that possibility out there where if the Texans get hot, they could be the number two seed. Man, there is so much on the line for the Steelers. I mean, like, because the Steelers lose this one, then they got to go to the Superdome next week.
The Steelers could be out of the playoffs.
The Steelers could be out. The
Which is amazing
to me. The Browns could win the division.
Say it again.
The Browns could win the division. It's unlikely, but not impossible.
Imagine if they made the switch at coach in the offseason and didn't start the year with Hugh. Imagine if they beat Pittsburgh in game one. Imagine if they end up they lost by another kick.
What do you think of Baker?
I love him.
He's great.
I love him.
Yeah, I think
kid's got balls. Got moxie.
It's just
he's a winner.
Pittsburgh has like the way they lost in Oakland was so ugly. Like
it's so them. Like their bad losses are them.
You know what's funny? Like somebody came up to me. I was talking with somebody at the airport last night, and they were like, "Wasn't that stuff?" I'm like, no, that's sort of what the Steelers do. Like, that's sort of like, that is such a Steeler loss. That brain fart loss in the middle of the year.
Big freak play at the end to get them back in it.
Yeah.
You know, Juju has that hook and ladder run.
Right. And they're desperately hanging on, and now they're back in it, and they're positioned to tie it, and the kicker literally busted his ass. Like, the kicker literally fell on his ass.
That's very slippery.
field. That infield, slick. Right? That infield in Oakland.
Yeah.
Yeah, got to be careful. Yeah,
no
well,
good.
Well, why would you ever test the footing out? Let's just go in here 100 miles an hour.
Well, based on the event, based on the events of this week, I'm wondering if, like, Oakland, like, stopped maintaining, like, the city of Oakland stopped maintaining that field.
Oh, I would.
You know?
Not hide the x-ray machine.
They could be in San Diego next year, which would be really interesting.
We're so upset. We do not know even where the x-ray machine was.
The Raiders, yeah.
They're going to go to San Diego for the year.
So here's the thing. Like, so they don't have a lease next year, right?
They don't have a place to
play.
The
city of Oakland just sued them.
Told them, get out.
Okay. Okay. And they don't have a lease. The city just sued them. They've got limited options. Now, I hear a lot of people they go to San Antonio, they go to Reno, they go to Las Vegas. The problem is like those places don't have practice facilities. They don't have headquarters for them. And so they could either stay in Oakland and play either at the Niners Stadium, which they don't want to do, or maybe play at Cal, like somewhere, something like that. They could go to Vegas. The problem with Vegas is that it would cost, I think, about $30 or $40 million to get the stadium up to where it needs to be to broadcast NFL games, right? Like UNLV Stadium. But the real issue with that is, like, UNLV is going with them into the new stadium, and so that would literally be just throwing money away. Like, normally, if you do something like that, okay, it's going to benefit somebody long term. No, that stadium's done. Like, that stadium's going to be gone after this year, and so they're sort of running out of options. And San Diego has a practice facility because the Chargers just left there. Has a stadium that's NFL ready, like it would make some sense. And they're the one team that might be able to pull it off because they've got a national fan base and they've got strong support in Southern California. So wouldn't that be interesting next year, like Los Angeles Chargers at San Diego Raiders?
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's pretty interesting.
They talked about it yesterday at the owners meeting in the room. I think it's interesting. I mean, it could be interesting. Anyway, so
interesting or bad for the league?
So when it comes to the Steelers, are we watching them completely fall apart for the year? Because they've got too much talent there.
Everybody was saying that at the beginning of the year too. And that's why, like, I never want to, like, completely count them out because they, and I tried to tell people this in August when we were like, everybody's like, oh, well, you know, Antonio Brown's a head case and Le'Veon Bell's holding out and this thing's going to implode. And it, like, they, that's not like, I mean, Zoe, you grew up there. This is like the way they've operated since they were since the 70s. Like, they've always had big personalities. There's always been tension there.
Loose cannons. They air it out. And they air everything out in public.
And they're always able
to mishandle pretty much every, even going back to the national anthem stuff. Like, they couldn't get on the same page as to what we were going to do with
Illinois. For one reason or another, it's just, like, they've always been able to manage it. Like, they've always, like,
they'll get a big win when they need it.
Right. It never really blows up on them, which, I mean, it's part of who they are. It's not great that they put themselves in those situations, but they have a way of digging themselves out. And so,
I think Ben loves to get nicked and get taken away on a cart, put him in the ambulance, and then come back and put the uniform back on.
Do you guys heard about what happened in Oakland? This is the other.
Is this the X-ray machine thing?
The X-ray machine. So I was talking to a Steelers guy the other night, and he was like, no, like our doctors like literally couldn't read the X-ray. Like, the x-ray machine is so old and so antiquated. It was like, we needed to go back and get, like, we needed to, like, go back and look at it, like, a bunch of different times. We couldn't read the x-ray.
Like, blurry?
I'm guessing that's
out of focus?
Yeah. It's an old,
it's probably like
antiquated,
reading a Polaroid or, you know,
old,
a
antiquated
off your iPhone.
I mean, yeah.
Pixels.
Yeah. I mean, like, that stadium, they've stopped, like, investing in it at all, you know? And so the kicker busts his ass, and the quarterback doesn't know if he's got bruised or cracked or broken ribs.
Why should we pay to upgrade the x-ray machine? Yeah. Right. It's like, what's the movie with Will Smith where he had the bone scanner thing?
Pursuit of Happiness.
Yes,
he was selling the bone density machine.
The bone density.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah. Like
an
old thing. I hear we're going to x-ray it.
I had somebody refer to NFL teams. It's the best way to refer to the way some of these NFL teams are run. $1 billion lemonade stands.
Yeah.
Some of these teams are literally run like $1 billion lemonade stands. Like, it's unbelievable.
Ben probably doesn't realize it, but he's sterile now, probably. That thing probably zapped out of, like, they probably didn't even have the right lead type of vest. Yeah.
Thank God.
Oh, sorry.
Hopefully it's not just sterilizing, but it caused, like, erectile dysfunction and everything else. There's nothing works anymore.
World's a better place.
Ribs are broken, but your nuts are frozen.
Yeah, we know.
Sorry, Mr. Roethlisberger, we gave you the wrong vest.
Did a favor to the world.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
We thought that the best thing to do, the most prudent thing to do, would to be only to make Ben available in an emergency-like situation was exactly what we did in Cincinnati several years ago. because of lack of information. Obviously, he's got to be a willing participant in that. The doctors have got to get to a level of comfort. But acknowledging that level of comfort is including a lack of clarity in some instances because the x-ray was not clearly readable.
Gives up quite a bit of information, Bert. Not sure if you've known that about him. How's his lack of clarity?
This was, so I think this is because he knows Ben is going to volunteer it if he doesn't. Because Ben always volunteers all of
That's the problem.
Ben volunteers all injury information. Ben likes to... Ben may see himself as like a superhero, you know? And so he just wants everybody to know the circumstances, what he's up against.
He can't wait to put it.
Doesn't mind letting you know, like, hey,
wants everybody to walk a mile in his shoes.
Yeah.
You know? Well, what was it after last year? He went to the podium. He went to the podium postgame. Foot was in a boot and he had, like, ice all over his shoulder.
Oh, what this? What this? No, this big plastic thing on my foot. Yeah. So this is actually a high ankle sprain. Which it's not just an ankle sprain. That's ligament damage in my leg. But I went out there and did it for my teammates.
If he has a rib or several rib contusions, that'll be addressed throughout the week.
Man, I would want to put a helmet into his ribs so badly if I were playing defense for the Patriots
left
on
side.
Sunday.
Left side.
Like, oh, I'm coming for you, Ben. I'm coming for you, kid. Like, you better be ready for it.
He's going to be sore, too. I saw the hit. And watch it in Oakland. It's his left ribs right there, right on the lower part.
Like, that's the thing. It's like he's tough as nails. Like, there's no question about. Like, it's just he ruins it by talking about it. You know what I mean? Like Ben, we know you're tough. You don't need to talk about it. Like, let other people talk about it. You don't need to talk about it yourself. So, I don't know. And the other part of it too was that they even gave the detail of, well, he took a painkiller shot, and
oh yeah, to shoot it up and wait for it to
and
take
wait
effect.
For, wait for it to take effect, right? Because he was in so much pain that it was impossible to play until. He was actually numbed up.
All right. Well, Bill Belichick yesterday in his press conference commented on the toughness. I referenced this in a question to Kyle Van Noy. I didn't think much of it at the time. Some other people have read more into it, but here it is. Bill Belichick talking about the toughness and play of Ben Roethlisberger.
He's got great poise, great patience. He knows how long he can wait, and usually a lot of times he waits right till the bitter end and then delivers the ball a lot of times, like on a 97-yard touchdown path to pass the Smith-Schuster, you know, he held it right to the last second, got nailed just as he released the ball, and, you know, it's a 97-yard touchdown pass. So, you know, that's the kind of thing he does. He hangs in there the last second and makes those throws, and he's tough. He's really tough. I have a ton of respect for him.
There's two plays, and you can see him tomorrow night on All Access. We do it in the Bellustrator. He diagrams that one, does mm-hmm. Bill. And he's right. Ben takes the shot in the end zone.
Yep.
He's like basically, you know, falling back as he's throwing it. He lays it to Smith-Schuster.
Okay. Yeah.
In the middle of the field. And there's another one where he's looking to the right side.
Yeah.
And Antonio Brown's running a curl to the backside.
Mm-hmm.
And Antonio knows he's going to get into trouble. So what Antonio does, he throws his hand up and runs to the middle of the field deep. Ben comes back, gets clocked again, and just throws a dime to him on the backside. It's a route adjustment backside that. Those are the type of plays Bill's talking about. He'll wait and improvise. Not only I think he's late at times reading things. That's why he does take hits.
I remember like talking to somebody about this with Brady when he was younger, and the advantage Brady had over Manning is Brady would hold on to the ball for a second longer than Manning would, almost routinely. Like, and what that does is it gives your receiver extra time to uncover.
Yeah.
Like it makes the defensive backs cover for another second. And that may not seem like a big deal, but when plays are 6 seconds long, you know, when a play is 4 to 6 seconds long, like having that extra second to uncover means a lot.
Also having receivers aren't as fast as the ones Manning has, too. See,
right.
That's what plays into
in this
Brady.
Clip, did you get the sense that Bill Belichick was somehow taking a shot at Tom Brady for not hanging on to the ball until the very last second? Did this cross your mind?
I didn't think of it that way.
Did you hear the nut job yesterday?
But
did you hear the nut job yesterday?
You heard it. I'll tell you what.
Paul Perillo goes, you people are nuts. All three of you. You're all freaking crazy.
But you know what, though? You heard that about Brady early in his career.
You did.
You heard about that in his career, like how willing he was to take a hit, how willing he was to stand back in there and, again, give his receivers the extra split second to uncover, make the defensive backs cover for an extra second. So, I mean, he does protect himself more than he used to.
So, I would say this. I don't think he was taking a shot at Brady. I would disagree with those guys on that. But
I think it's a perfect description of Roethlisberger.
I think that's all it was. But it's worthy of another question. Is Ben Roethlisberger at his age, he's not young either, playing tougher than Tom Brady is at this moment in time? Not better quarterback. Is he playing tougher? Is he hanging in there? Is he taking shots that Brady is not willing to take anymore?
I think that's fair.
I can't remember what game it was. Brady took a shot throwing a touchdown pass. He clean opened up. Was it the Jets? Yep. All right. When he has to win a game, he'll take the Jets.
You know what, though, Jim?
Like, the Gronkowski one to the Jets. He got lit right up the middle.
Like, no, but he's told us this, guys. He's conscious of it.
It's ridiculous we're even talking about this. This is asinine.
No one questions Brady's toughness. I think it's a conscious decision he's making. It's self-preservation.
He talks about it.
Like, how can I be smart about it? And so, yeah, by definition, like, Roethlisberger's playing tougher because he's hanging in there and taking the hits. Is that the intelligent thing to do? Maybe not, because Brady is still playing at this level at 41. If he had hung in there the way he, like, pre-ACL, right? Like, the way he would stand in there pre-ACL and take hits. I mean, he was tough as nails, right?
He's getting criticized for several series post whatever issue he had with his knee last week.
Here's the question, okay? If he stood in there, if he continued to play the way he did when he was 28, 29 years old, would he still be playing right now?
No, probably not.
Probably not, right? Yeah. Probably not. Like, I mean, look at Cam, right? Like, Ben had to make an adjustment. When Haley got there, Ben had to adjust, and Haley had to drill it into his head. Like, you can't play that way on every play. Like, we need to get the ball out of your hands quicker. They're doing that with Cam now. Look at Cam Newton in Carolina. Like, he's got the shoulder soreness, the labrum issue, and that's a result of taking too many hits. I think there comes a point where these guys have to
start. Well, my response to this would be, one quarterback has, like, three bruised or cracked ribs right now, and the other one doesn't.
And the one that has three cracked ribs missed a quarter and a half of game action and then lost that game because of that.
So I agree with you. You know, who's hanging tough? It's Ben, but it might be, you know, detrimental to him and his team.
Exactly.
That he's doing this.
Yeah, and I think it's not unfair to look at this and say Brady made a business decision a long time ago to do everything that he could to preserve his body. We know that, right? Like, he does everything, right? Down to what he has for dessert on a random night in April, okay? And this is part of that. This is part of that, is learning how to take a hit, learning how to fall better, all of that different stuff. And so, by definition, is he going out there and, like, playing as tough as Ben is? No, because he's not taking the hits, but that's a conscious decision.
617-779-0985. Let's go to some of your calls. Joe's in Revere. Joe.
Hi, guys.
Joe! My man.
Joe, happy birthday.
You sound
happy
down today.
Happy birthday, Joe. Nah, I'm at the doctor's office. Happy birthday. I wanted to say that.
You're calling him from the doctor's office?
Yes, of course.
Wow. That is Joe. There he is.
I really think the Patriots are going to just rebound in a big way and get this foolishness out of their system and go about business and wrap up second place and go on with it.
Wrap it up.
That's my opinion. And so, enjoy your day.
Thanks, Joe.
Make sure you have a great birthday.
All right, pal.
All right, Joe.
Good luck at the doctors.
Chad is in Medford. Hi, Chad.
Hey, what's up? On this game Sunday, I mean, if they had anybody but Tomlin, the head coach, I mean, the Steelers got a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. They just don't like firing guys here. What's Kyler and Chuck Knoll been old coaches forever. And with the Patriots, what scares me is all year they can't stop the run. I mean, he signed Shelton Belichick. He's the only fairy they got. He didn't even dress Sunday. You're going to have to live and die with him because the run there has been horrible against the run, the Pats defense. Thanks.
Okay. So anybody but Mike Tomlin, the Steelers should be winning this game.
He brings up a good point with Shelton and Brown, though. Is this one where Shelton gets, you know, I know he wasn't dressed last week, but shoot, we got to dress them just based on how Malcolm Brown got manhandled.
Connor might not play. I don't know. I mean, like, since Connor's been out, they're less committed to running the ball the way they were before. If he isn't playing, I don't know if this is a horrible matchup from that standpoint for the Patriots.
To address another DB.
I mean, here, Connor went out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So
there's talk of him potentially being back, but he's not going to play in this game.
I doubt he'll play in this game. So if we pull it up and look at what the rushing yards the last couple weeks for the Steelers, right? So since the Jacksonville game, 26 yards against Jacksonville, 75 yards against Denver, 65 yards against the Chargers, 40 yards against Oakland.
Terrible. Oh, wow. Terrible.
So
terrible.
They're not running the ball at all.
Nope.
And that's after that came off of five straight where they were over 110.
So you're going to carry an extra edge guy, a backer, or a defensive end.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, why not?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's going down. I'm yelling timber. You better move. You better dance. Let's make the night. You won't remember. I'll be the one. You won't forget.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. Patriots getting ready for a matchup with the Steelers. That means a matchup with Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown.
Like it.
Guys, you got to worry about good receivers. What were you going
to
say?
It's come to the point where I don't want to say Juju's more of the game breaker because Antonio's so good. You know, he makes so many great catches. But I just think from the short ball, the ability to take it, catch it, and not that Antonio Brown can't do that, because I don't want to take that away from him, because I think he's the best.
Spectacular,
receiver in the league. Juju's got something after the catch that it's a 3-yard ball turns into a 68-yard play. You know, it's that type of stuff.
He's strong. He's
and it's Antonio doesn't run a crossing route. Antonio gets up, gets vertical, makes his catches 30 yards downfield. Juju's an intermediate type guy that catches, hits, and
they
goes.
They complement each other. Right? Yes, they're very different.
They layered great. Yeah. And then you got to see. I think, and this, I took.
There's no one. There's no one in the league that drafts receivers and develops receivers better than Pittsburgh.
That guy should be in the Hall.
Last week in the Miami game, just days ago now, you had J.C. Jackson pretty much replace Jason McCourty. Later in the game, they were using a lot more J.C. Jackson. I'm now curious to see what a week it was for Jason McCourty to go from us talking about how he was ranked as one of the top corners in the game in Pro Football Focus rankings. I think he was sixth last week.
I think he's back in this week.
Is that the guy who gets the duty?
Miami's fast. Yeah. So I think that's probably matchup related, where Jason McCourty has been excellent, and I don't want to denigrate the way he's played at all. But he can't run the way he used to be able to run.
I just think you give him help this week. I think he's the guy that's going to take Brown and with help to where, and I think, Bert, you agree too, that I think Gilmore's a bad matchup on Brown.
Yep.
I think Malcolm was a perfect matchup on Brown because of the size.
If you put Smith-Schuster
is 6'1", and Brown is 5'10".
You're going to put the bigger, longer corner.
Right.
That makes sense.
Gilmore against Juju.
If you put Gilmore on Antonio Brown, you're asking for trouble.
I think Antonio Brown will turn him around.
Yeah.
I think he'll turn him around.
So really it's a question of...
How do you deal with Brown?
I think you go veteran.
Yep.
You got to go veteran here. You got to.
And I think
they
will
too. With a lot of help.
Until they give him a reason not to.
Ton of help.
Until he gives them a reason not to go.
Jason McCourty with a lot of help.
I wouldn't be shocked if it's a little bit of Jonathan Jones chasing around. I'm not the greatest Jonathan Jones fan right now.
But he's the body type.
It's the body type. And Bill's going to go body type matchup with help. And this is about we got to freaking get the call right, and we can't blow coverage. Because I think you look at that last play last week, J.C. Jackson looked completely lost. Like, he didn't know what to do. Like, Devin McCourty wasn't on the field. We're not going to screw this freaking thing up again, okay? So we're getting Devin, we're getting Patrick out there, and we're going to put Deron deep over the top with help underneath with Devin and whether it's Devin's brother or it's J.C. Jackson on Antonio Brown. That's what we're going to have to do.
And, man, this may be the week where you miss Malcolm Butler. Like, this is the, like, Malcolm
you
Butler.
You got to go. You
Malcolm
gotta go.
Butler, like, this was the guy that Malcolm Butler was built to cover. Like, this is the sort of player
Malcolm
that Malcolm
always played well against Pittsburgh.
Yep. Malcolm
Even when he gave up catches.
He gave up 11
balls. Right there. I mean, I remember that opener a couple of years ago where he, like, Antonio Brown wound up with 7 catches for 130 yards or something like that.
Off 11 targets.
But he had to work for him. Yeah. Like, he had to work for
him. He labored. Yeah. And he complimented Malcolm after that game. He said, wow, that dude's good. And they ended up filming that pizza commercial together. Remember that?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? I thought it was it a Papa John's or I think it was Domino's. Like, Antonio Brown would get the pizza and Malcolm be like, covering him, and then all of a sudden he'd take the pizza away, and then he'd run, and he'd come and get it back. I forget which pizza company it was, but I think they did a pizza commercial together.
You're probably right. I just don't remember.
It was replayed all the time. You don't remember that?
I don't.
I don't remember it either.
It's like the one lone thing Malcolm did. Like,
I just think we're at a point now where we're all so conditioned to pay no attention to commercials.
Yeah, you turn the channel.
On television.
You don't watch commercials at all, do you?
You don't?
Like, I don't. Like,
I don't anymore.
Yeah.
Super Bowl's the only time you watch them, because, like, okay, they got to be creative. What are they gonna
I just think about? When it comes to watching football games, you have the timing down in your mind that you know how far you can go, how long you can walk away, how long you don't have to pay attention before you look back up from your iPad, your phone, computer, and look back at the TV.
And you don't get nervous about flipping the channel, because if you flip it and you're like a little late, you can still rewind it.
I would say we listen more to commercials than we do actually look at them. Like, you're listening.
Yeah. Which is why...
That's why radio's so good. That's why radio commercials still work.
Which is why...
You listen to them.
Which is why we're starting to see commercials evolve, where they'll actually still be showing, like... They'll still be showing the field during the commercial, during, like,
yes.
the break, and then they'll have, like, the commercial around it or whatever. Yeah, they're trying to keep you engaged, so you have something to look at other than just the commercial.
So I don't remember that one. Blair in Maine. Go ahead, Blair.
Well, and Timber!
Thanks, Blair. Appreciate
the
call.
Have a good week.
Thanks for wishing Zoe a happy birthday. We're going to take that as.
Was he eating a popsicle? Is he eating ice cream?
Mouth full of something.
Freaking Maine finger liquor.
We need to work that into our Christmas song.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
How many times have we mentioned Malcolm Butler today? When New England's had the ball, they have not necessarily targeted Butler.
Now, he is going to be the nickelback today. It's more J.C. Jackson and Gilmore and McCourty.
On first down, it's a run to Lewis.
That was in the Tennessee game where Dan Fouts completely forgets that Malcolm Butler doesn't play for the Patriots anymore. He plays for the
Fouts has been really good, I heard, lately. Come on, CBS. Let's go.
Zoe's available.
I'm available.
I don't think we ever mentioned that when on Monday after the Dolphins game.
Yeah.
When Fouts suggested that maybe they should let the Patriots score the touchdown.
You know
there?
Why we didn't know this? Because I don't listen to their broadcast. And so I never heard it. I heard it on Felger Mass on Monday.
I only hear the away broadcast, but that was
the away broadcast?
I only hear the Patriots away games broadcast, television broadcast.
Gotcha. I'm confused.
The home broadcast.
I
listen to the
For
radio.
For me, it doesn't
call.
Matter. Home or road. I'm listening to Zoe and Bob.
Right.
Got it.
But
sorry. I'm like, huh?
The notion that.
Idiot.
Yeah, he said at some point. You know, one option would be to let the Patriots score the touchdown here. But,
well, and go up what? 9?
At 9.
And hope for what? What are you hoping for there?
He is so stupid.
Yeah, there's no coach in football that would do that. Not a single one.
No.
And I don't blame him for it. Nope. Nobody would do that. And hope for...
We've had people all week say, why didn't you go for the touchdown here to end the game there and score? They knew that if you scored, the game's over. A touchdown.
But
like,
he's saying,
there's no chance.
He was saying it earlier. I'm assuming you're save clock, so you get the ball back twice.
He was saying it down inside the 5.
Yeah. Down inside the 5, there was like 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
It was suggested that the Dolphins allow the Patriots to score the touchdown there.
All right. Well, I wouldn't have done that.
no, nobody would, ever.
I'd like you to find me the coach, college or pros or high school, that would suggest doing that.
I do think the Patriots maybe should have gone for it on fourth down there, though.
Oh. What?
Oh.
Why? Yeah. Because you either get it and the game's over, or you don't and the Dolphins are at their own, like, two.
And only have to drive to get a field goal, not to get a touchdown.
That's true. How much time was left? No timeouts, 21, right?
21 seconds.
21 seconds, no timeouts, right? So I think that's hard.
As opposed to 9 seconds and 70 yards to go.
And a game-winning field goal. Not a game
you
time.
You don't need a touchdown.
Game-winning
field
goal.
All you need is a field goal.
Goal
to win.
Right.
You don't have to drive the length of the field.
I still I don't know, man. Like that, like, I think it's really hard to play out of, like, your own end like that. And then you have to take into account, you have to stop the clock. Like, so say you take a shot downfield, then you're down to, what, 10 seconds by the time you're in field goal range? Can you get everyone lined up in time to spike the ball and get a...
Maybe not, but seeing how every time they threw the ball, they got a huge gain all day long.
I think there's merit to it. Like, I think there's some merit to it. Like,
you
the
get
idea
one
of, like,
pass interference.
No, there is. There is if you determine
get a PI,
yeah.
You're kicking a field goal.
I mean, I think there's some merit to the idea of, like, I think it's harder to do that. They're both incredibly difficult.
They're both ridiculous. So they're both to do.
Yeah, I mean, it was hard. We're
the probability
really
of either one happening, yeah. they defied all odds.
All right, let's get to this. Let's get to what happened on ESPN this morning with Stephen A. Smith mentioning a bunch of guys who aren't playing in tonight's game.
I'm also looking at the San Diego Chargers on offense, and I'm thinking about Hunter Henry and the way that he's played this year and as effective as he's been. He's going up against Derek Johnson, and I got to keep my eyes on that because I'm looking at it from the standpoint. Listen, here's where I'm at with all of this. At the end of the day, I'm looking at Patrick Mahomes. I'm looking at Tyreek Hill. I'm looking at Travis Kelce. I think they're going to have the ability to.
What do you do if you're on set with him?
First of all,
Bruschi on the set with them?
Yes, he is.
And Bruschi made a face, right?
His face is incredible.
Okay.
First of all, face. If you're watching it, you got problems to begin with, but I love Bruschi.
Teddy Bruschi's face is amazing.
What the hell? Teddy Bruschi's face is
Hunter Henry tore his ACL.
Oh,
Pro
my God.
Yes. We put it on TV. We put the still shot on TV. Pro also, Football Talk has also changed their avatar to Bruschi's face because it's so damn good.
This is the problem. This is the problem. This is the problem that guys like Rodney, Bruschi, and Willie have with other guys that they have to do show with. The lack of preparation that those people that they are forced to sit on set with put into it.
Well, like,
so Derek Johnson.
Wait, all right, so here's what there are two things that make this incredibly bad. Like, yeah. Beyond just the fact that neither of these guys are playing. Number one, with Hunter Henry, not only does he talk about, like, how he's going to be a factor tonight, he goes into, like, what a big
how good he's been.
How good he's been this year.
Great he's
been. So great.
Tore his ACL and OTAs.
Yeah, didn't play at all this year.
Tore his ACL and OTAs.
He then mentions...
And then he mentions Derek Johnson, right?
Who not only
isn't playing right now and got cut this year, but he wasn't cut by the Chiefs. He was cut by the Raiders.
Right. He got cut by the Chiefs back at the end of last season when the offseason began. So there's that. And then there's Spencer Ware, who he mentions. Spencer Ware not playing tonight.
Right. That's a little less egregious because that's just a week-to-week injury. So
I've done that.
I can give him a pass for that one. But the other two are tough.
The San Diego Chargers are...
He's asked which matchup he's looking forward to. These guys get this stuff in advance. They know what they're going to be asked on television.
Are we just forgiving every San Diego Chargers mention? Because I think everybody does that.
I'm letting him off the hook for that.
I
have no problem for that.
Done it myself. Every time I go to say Chargers, I stop myself and have to say Los Angeles.
It's like when I was growing up, my dad used to always call the Colts Baltimore. And
I never understood how that happened. Now I understand how that happened.
Yeah.
Because you're old enough to be a dad now?
Right. No, because the San Diego thing. Now I get it with the San Diego thing. I do the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
But I never understood why my father would do it.
My dad always called the Colts Baltimore when I was a kid.
Yeah. Nope. It's hard to say.
It's hard to break your habit of saying it, you know?
Yes.
Especially when like L.A. doesn't really even care about them, so it's hard to call them Los Angeles.
617-779-0985. Pete's in Delaware today. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. Hey, I watched that live, that first take. And when he brought up Hunter Henry, I'm like, Antonio Gates was signed because of that. And then it got worse because Spencer Ware is not playing tonight. And Stephen A. brought up how Spencer Ware could be a weapon. And Max Kellerman had to correct him there. I think he needs to stick to basketball. But
Hey, guys, I think the Chargers are going to win tonight. I'd be surprised if they don't.
All right, who's going to win this game tonight?
You know, I think not having Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler is a factor because I think the Chargers' path to victory is slowing the game down.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Jackson's played pretty well, the rookie from Northwestern. I think the Chargers are a more well-rounded team. The running back injuries and Arrowhead are the two things that sort of give me pause here.
Arrowhead, Kansas City, at home on the short week. Sorry. Give me
the you want a Buckeye Woody. You're rooting for Bosa tonight.
I look, you know who I think could be a factor tonight, like with the way that Patrick Mahomes plays, right?
Yeah.
Like where he makes all these off schedule plays, throws the ball against his body, all of that different stuff. Derwin James is somebody who I think could be a factor tonight because they move him all over. The rookie from Florida State.
Yep.
They play him deep, they play him at the second level, they rush him. Like I think he's like sort of one of these pieces that for a young quarterback is gonna be really, really hard to deal with. And so I could certainly see if Patrick Mahomes is going to put one up, maybe the guy who he doesn't account for being back there a couple times might be Derwin James.
Let's go to Lee, who's in Quincy today. What's
Hi,
up, Lee?
Lee?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. Good.
Dan Fouts is the worst. He is the absolute worst. He couldn't get anything right the other day. He kept saying, like, messing up people's names. He's like, Edelman right there with good coverage on a stop by Edelman. He like would say like the same name. But to me, the one that stuck out was, I think it was in the second half, I think James White had the ball, and it was like they were driving. He's like, well, the Patriots are really trying to let the air out of the ball on this drive. And it was silence after that. I was like, did you really just say that? And then no one wanted to touch it. It was like silence.
Oh, because Ian's a pro. Yeah, he would never.
He was like, we're just going to let that sit for a minute and just change the subject.
And then it's like, here comes second and three.
Yeah, exactly.
Second and five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have a good day, guys.
All right,
see
Lee.
Lee.
Take it easy. Lee didn't mention your birthday. Surprised.
Is that Brett Gilmore in a woman's coat?
I thought Lee would wish you a happy birthday.
I didn't see.
You got to put a shade up there.
He's a real fancy boy.
He's a kitty.
Shane is in Burlington. Hi, Shane.
Did you see that?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Thank you.
I want to talk about who had the worst loss last week. Would it be the Steelers who played the Oakland Raiders or the Patriots lost Miami because they couldn't make one tackle on a fluke play?
Oh, the Raiders. The Raiders
Steelers,
lost
Steelers
worse.
Raiders.
Raiders lost worse. The Dolphins are a good competitive team.
Nothing really changed from your perspective.
Chris Gasper
from
doesn't
a
like us saying that.
Yeah.
Chris Gasper did
What's
not
that?
Enjoy Bert and I saying that the Dolphins were sort of a scrappy team that
he didn't like
that
it,
doesn't
like talking,
quit.
Yeah.
Didn't like that. Didn't appreciate that pregame last
but they,
week.
Well, but then what happened?
Told
what,
them.
Then what happened?
They
I
got like,
hey,
you
can't. Games. Did that team play all 60 minutes?
Yes,
Beadle?
They did.
That's
the bitter end.
That's
I don't
a
think
7
they're
and
that,
6 team now. That team is 7 and 6.
I don't think they're a great team. I don't think
I don't
they
either.
Have a quarterback. I don't think they've got a, you know.
They play really,
really
good
I,
at home.
I look at the team and say there's nothing that's great about anything they've got there.
They play their
But at least they fight. At least they scrap it out.
And they've got guys like Frank Gore and Danny Amendola and Albert Wilson. I mean, they've got like. They've got good pros, like tough guys who know how to win.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.